like to welcome you back to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. Continuing our superintendent's roundtable with, it's budget season, folks. It's all about the dollars and cents that Albany's going to give our local schools that you're going to be voting on in May. And you're going to need to get out to your local school districts, find out what they're putting in their budget proposals to enhance the educational opportunities for your kids, what's it's going to cost, and get the facts straight from your school officials. Don't listen to Facebook. Don't listen to Twitter. Please, please, please go to those boring budget meetings that all school board members just love to have in the dead of winter. Those budgets are being developed right now, and we encourage your participation. And most importantly, you have to vote. Voting is so critically important in our school elections because guess what our elected officials pay attention to? They pay attention to voter turnout, and they pay attention to communities that vote. Now, we were talking about the tax cap, Ron, before the break, and how there's definitely some changes that need to be made because there are some unintended consequences the way it's currently written. And if they are going to make it permanent, they need to learn the lessons of some of the things that we've seen in the past. But in addition to the demographic shifts, the enrollment shifts, one of the things that we've seen a huge increase in, and I know there was a survey of superintendents on Long Island about where they are investing their resources over the last couple of budget cycles. And without a fail, the number one that jumps off the board is investing in the social and emotional needs of our students. We've seen studies, and it's extremely disturbing to me as a 15-year board member, of increase in suicide rates among primary grade level students. I mean, you know, it's up like 70%. You're talking elementary students, you know, fourth or fifth grade. But when we see increases like that, the stress levels, we talked about students stressing out during Common Core and everything else, but there's more to it than that. There's the social media bullying and the stressors that come with that and the expectations and is there true downtime for kids just to decompress and walk away? What are the things that you're hearing from your colleagues, and what are some of the things that you guys are trying to tackle? And this is something that needs to be part of that conversation about that tax cap as well.
Absolutely. You know, this is one of our highest priorities and something we're talking about this a real lot around the county and around the state, for that matter. You know, I think that when you surveyed superintendents, and annually superintendents are surveyed throughout New York State, just about 6-7 years ago, they rarely talked about mental health needs of kids. Last year, 67% of superintendents in New York State talked about mental health issues being a top priority for them. In terms of being a funding priority, 56% identified supporting the mental health wellness of kids as a priority and putting resources towards supporting kids. You know, in Suffolk County alone, you know, when we look at kids who are experiencing childhood trauma, the numbers from 2015 to 2017 of CPS cases have jumped 812 cases, up 9%, which is pretty incredible when you consider 9,700 cases reported in Suffolk County alone. So those kids are in our schools, you know, and that number represents roughly 4-5% of the kids in our schools. So we know, just looking at those numbers, that in a classroom of 20 kids, which is your typical average classroom, there's at least one kid that has experienced some significant childhood trauma. So that, coupled with the decrease in-person social interaction, the increase in screen time, that is having detrimental effects on kids' mental health, these are the kinds of issues that we're all grappling with, and we're all trying to figure out how we can support kids. And so, you know, I think throughout the county, there's a lot more talk about whole child education and making sure that we can fund some of the supports we need for that. New York State took a lead and brought about mental health literacy initiatives, but that also comes with some costs, and those costs are really people costs, and making sure that we can educate the kids accordingly so they are aware of the mental health issues that they might face.
And the earlier we intervene, the studies will show, the better the outcomes and long-term results. Along the same lines of social and emotional, Dr. Lutz, you know, much attention has been given, and rightfully so, due to the tragedies that we've seen nationwide about school safety, the conversation about school resource officers and what's available. And again, this is another funding implication, not necessarily directly to schools when you're talking about school resource officers, but certainly on a state and a countywide level. And there's a commitment from the police commissioner here in Suffolk County, at least, that, you know, they know the value, and she sees the value in SROs, and most school districts that have SROs in place, it's an invaluable resource. from a school safety standpoint, what are you hearing from your component school districts as far as the things that they're looking to do or need assistance to do?
Well, let me first say, there's not a school district in Suffolk County that hasn't done something to increase its safety. Everybody started at a different place, but certainly everybody is moving forward, whether it's infrastructure changes, whether it's personnel changes. We have a wonderful working relationship with Suffolk County PD, and actually in the East End, really strong relationships as well with, you know, with East End Police Department, to help people, help them understand our needs, for us to understand what it is they have to offer. We're working with them on defining what's a role of a school resource officer to make sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page and we're sure who is doing what. I think those are things that are important, but all of those things come with funding issues. And, you know, if it's not school resource officers, if schools decide that they're going to go with internal security folks, I mean, that's a funding issue as well. So, and we all know that along with that, you know, you can increase your security, but you also, just to follow up with Ron, what Ron said, you know, need to be proactive in helping, you know, provide for students some, you know, education and some programs to make sure that they, you know, they understand risk behaviors and they have alternatives to, you know, making those kinds of choices.
And Lars, you know, Dr. Lutz was alluding to some of the infrastructure, and I can't help but think, you know, speaking of Governor Cuomo, we passed this huge Smart School Bonds Act, and there's a whole bunch of projects stuck up in SED awaiting approval. And for a lot of school districts, there are security priority projects, whether it be upgrading your technology with video cameras or getting creative with your door entrances or whatever other infrastructure projects that you're employing technology. So there is some real, real problems up in SED due to staffing shortages that they can't get these projects approved. And, you know, I fear by the time some of these projects get approved, the technology is now outdated. What are some of the other things that the school districts are paying attention to that need to be done to, shore up each building and each district? Because every district is different, too. And this is an important point that you need to leave it to the local administrators and the local school boards, because my buildings are designed a little bit differently than Hampton Bays, which is designed differently than Remsenburg Spionk, which is designed differently than the campuses at East and Suffolk Bossy. So leave it to the local officials. One size fits all doesn't work. What are some of the things you're seeing?
Suffolk County is so diverse. I think that's a great point, that communities value different relationships with their schools, but at the same time, the foundation is everybody wants to be safe. The Smart Schools is a human resource crisis at the Division of Budget and SED. That happened to Hampton Bays. By the time our money got approved, or we were in the queue to approve, the model numbers had expired, and we had to update that and in order to access those funds. But the idea about school safety in terms of infrastructure really comes down to hardening your structure. You know, in addition to all of the social, emotional softening of your heart and your compassion to others and community, hardening the structure to be in a position to respond if there is, God forbid, a crisis in your community. So that's making sure that you can keep people safe while law enforcement is responding and you have those strong relationships with law enforcement so they can have access to your building. That Chief Cameron's precincts in the East End towns, as they're approaching a school to respond, they can see what's going on the camera. They can operate the door locks to cut down seconds. We saw it in Parkland. Right. We saw it in Virginia Tech and many other examples that seconds mattered, and all of these hardening type advances come down to eliminating seconds from a crisis response.
Seconds save lives. Yep. Dr. Lutz, in the last minute and a half here, school districts are also working hard with engaging partnerships in the business sector to understand their future employment needs and the skill sets that they're going to need. Talk a little bit about the partnerships that schools certainly have had and the school industry has had with the Long Island Association and what the Long Island Association is telling us.
Yeah, so there's a long-standing partnership between the Long Island Education Coalition, which is a great coalition of really all of the educational groups, PTA, Suffolk and Nassau superintendents, New York State United Teachers at the table. And the Long Island Association has partnered with that group for a long time. And our goal is to help them understand the strength of education on Long Island and the infrastructure support that public education on Long Island provides. And the Long Island Association really brings to the table what is it that business and industry need? Because part of our job as public education is to build for them, you know, educate for them the workforce that is needed.
The skill set that's going to be needed in the future. We're going to have these superintendents and chief operating officer from Eastern Suffolk BOCES back after the budget season, but still in the height of the legislative season. I want to thank everybody for your time and your expertise. It's a conversation we could have for hours on end. You've been listening to Spotlight on Long Island Schools on 103.9 LI News Radio. Catch us out on the web at linewsradio.com. And hey, check out our Facebook page, Spotlight on Long Island Schools. Your place to go, suggest a program, club, or activity that your kids are in, and your school may be the next one right here in our spotlight.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.